Sometimes it makes you wonder. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we do the things that we do? Do we do them out of habit? Or do we do them out of love and affection? I'm glad that I know 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 that there just got to be a God. Because he's just as awesome today as he was yesterday. And no matter how I feel today, how I felt yesterday, he's still God. A lot of things change, but yet remain the same. God is yet in control. Well, subject today, the passage of scripture that was read in your hearing. Misusing the tongue. My mind goes back to the book of Genesis after God had created everything, set man in the Garden of Eden and had left them there. Satan came along and as a serpent and misused the tongue. He misused it because he used it in a way that God had not intended for it to be used. But Satan had already misused his ability to speak before he got to the earth. This is why he was here on earth anyway, because he had opened his mouth and out of his mouth came what was in his heart. He wanted to be in charge, and he was not in charge, and he spoke, misusing the tongue, using it for a reason that God had not intended for it to be used. And here we are now in the passage that was read in your hearing in the book of James, who history tells us is the brother of Jesus. He's talking to the Jews that are scattered abroad and talking to them and telling them about using the tongue. And in the first verse, where point one will come from, said, not many should become teachers, because teachers shall face a stricter judgment from God. Because he's saying here in this passage, because you are a teacher, you're going to be constantly talking and telling people what they should do. Because that's what teachers do. And we'll be correcting those that you're teaching when they come up short. A teacher is responsible for the lives and the spiritual growth of those that are under him or her. And God will hold him or her responsible for them. Therefore, if the teacher fails to live what he or she teaches, they shall be judged on a greater judgment and condemnation. The teacher must live what he or she preaches and teaches. This is stressed in verse 1. It's a pointed truth. You can't get around it. A person should commit his life to teach only if he or she cannot keep from teaching. Teaching, brothers and sisters, is a high calling. Some people think that to be the president of the United States is a high calling, but to be a teacher is even a higher calling. Because the man or woman that's president of the United States can only be there for a maximum of 8 years. And if you become a teacher of this word, God bless you, you will be teaching longer than 8 years. And you will be responsible for the souls that God decides to leave under your leadership. And I guess I might as well go ahead and do this. And my wife and some more of my friends tell me I tell y'all too much anyway, so I might as well make them tell the truth. When you teach this word of God, when you shepherd people, I'm not talking about a hireling shepherd. I'm talking about a shepherd that is the owner of the sheep. You take full responsibility for their spiritual growth. And sometimes, help me, Holy Ghost, you feel as if you are not doing what you ought to be doing. And I don't know about nobody else, Brother Warren, but I know about me. When I look and I don't see, seem like I don't see a spiritual differences in our lives, I begin to question me. I don't question God. But what God is telling me is that stop looking at yourself and look at me. So sitting here this morning and in Sunday school this morning, when I drove up and it was 9:30, and I didn't see the people that I normally would see. I told somebody who was standing out on the porch, I think it was Brother Ashley, I said, the day in Sunday school is going to be short. Meaning the brothers that were normally supposed to be here were not going to be here. I know. Some of them had got responsibilities someplace else, but I know that. But God does not want me to look at you and determine what He Himself is doing. I need to keep my eyes focused on Him. And in telling you this, I'm showing you that I got a long ways to go too. Don't focus on the people that you worship with, the people that you're leading. Focus on me, and the me is God. And I know my message, my title is misuse of the tongue, but this is what he does. The devil will take your thought pattern and take you away from where God needs for you to be. I got a long ways to go. That's why God's still dealing with me. Things never seem to go right, because I have expectations. I expect everybody that come here to love God as much as I love Him. And you do. But sometimes in our thought pattern, this is the first place that sin will get to us, and then it gets in our mind, and then we want to speak it out, misusing the tongue. But I want you to see this today, as me telling you this is getting you to see how the devil will attack you no matter who you are, no matter how close you think you are walking with God, and you probably are walking with it. But the devil will try to get your thought pattern away from where God needs for you to be. Brothers and sisters, and I don't want you to misuse the tongue. To teach is a great responsibility. Responsible for people's souls. And I know we have a tendency to expect more of people in leadership positions, and it needs to be that way. Because if I could do something else and sleep happy and know that I'm pleasing God other than preach and teach this word, I'd do it. But I can't, because this is my lot in life, to teach this word of God. And to teach this word of God, you have to use the tongue, because that's where God allows speech to come from. And you have to use it. And I'm going to get there. I told you there's no bigger responsibility in this world than teaching the word of God. And God's going to judge all of us that teach this word. And don't you think that because you don't stand up and talk about this word, help me, Holy Ghost, that you are not teaching this word of God. Because if you are a born-again believer, sanctified and full of the Holy Spirit, you are teaching somebody. Good, bad, or indifferent. You may never stand up in front of a group and lead a discussion, but you still are teaching somebody. If you're not by the way that you live. Brothers and sisters, don't neglect this gift of teaching. If God have blessed you with this gift to teach. The great responsibility and potentials of condemnation enhances its great dignity, because there is certain responsibilities that goes along with this. A teacher's main tool for work is speech, and that is the use of the tongue. You have to use the tongue. It is the tongue, that's your tool. And its uses that will have a great bearing on the teacher's condemnation or blessing. The tongue is where the first great temptation attacks teachers. The temptation to misuse the tongue. You can misuse the tongue by leading people down the wrong path. And sometimes you can mislead them by not saying what you need to say to them. You can lie to them and tell them it's all right to do this, that, or the other when you know that it's wrong. Or sometimes you won't say something when you know that you ought to say it. That's misusing of the tongue. Point number two, the tongue stumbles and sin. Now, I don't want you to miss this next word. Often, in word after word. That's in verse 2. This instructs the teachers as well as other believers. No believer, no matter how great a teacher he or she may be or who he is free from stumbling and falling. This verse says that in many things they stumble and they fall. We all stumble. We do not just occasionally stumble or occasionally fall and sin. We are always coming up short before God. Did you get the last part that I said? I said we come up short before God, not before men, women, boys, and girls. See, because brothers and sisters, when you become a teacher of this word of God, you're not responsible to the people that you're talking to. You are responsible to Lord God Almighty. And if God didn't put you there, you do not need to be teaching. And this includes all teachers, including preachers and teachers and deacons, as well as all other believers. All of us are included in this. In our tongue, always showing that we are, if our tongue is always showing that we are patient,
patient and long suffering. Sometimes we can misuse the tongue by bragging on ourselves, or sometimes we can misuse it. Will you misuse it by thinking people you're kind, and you get yourself all puffed up thinking that you're somebody, and only one thing that can be said: how short we are of the glory of God, because I'm using my tongue to make you think that I'm somebody, I'm something that I'm not. In no uncertain term, the tongue shows us that we are always stumbling and come up short. But brothers and sisters, I need to tell you that you are held accountable before God for every word that you speak. Therefore, we must learn to control our tongue, because the tongue is the way that we believe that we become perfect, or we become mature and fully developed, the fully developed person in the Word of God. Maturity can be measured by the control of the tongue. See, this is why, brothers and sisters, you've heard me say quite often, sometime you need to put your tongue between your teeth and bite down on it, because there's some things that you feel like you want to say, but you just ought not to say it, because if you say it, you will hurt somebody. You can kill people with your tongue. You can wound them with your tongue. But if you put your tongue between your teeth and bite down on it, that sometimes you won't say something. The tongue is the way in which we can learn to control the whole body. Sometimes we need to control our tongue by not saying or talking about how good something is, especially with me, with food. I talk myself into eating something because I think about how good it used to taste. But then again, I remember what it is to me, and I say it, but I don't say it. I don't let it get in my mind. I know my wife get after me about this. She tell me sometimes that as much as you talk about food, people think you just eat all the time. Well, I can eat without eating, because I eat in my mind. See, but this Word of God, if your tongue begin to speak it out, that's why I think sometimes I stop talking about food so much, because we just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and we're eating ourselves to an early grave. But you can eat in moderation if we would do our eating like we do our studying and receiving of the Word of God. We do it in moderation, and then we might lose a little something. But then if you study this Word of God just a little bit every day, it will grow on you, and then it will begin to work on the inside. It doesn't take much of the Word to fill you up. If you let your tongue become useful and don't misuse it, this tongue, it has something to do with everything, every part of our body. If we learn to control our tongue, we can control any passion or any care or any temptation that we have in this life. If we learn to control the tongue, it can take care of all the appetites that you may have, that this body may need. The tongue speaks what's in the heart of the mind, and it is the tongue that shall either justify or condemn us before God. What you do and what you say will have an effect on how God sees you, because that's what's in your heart. You have to understand that if you speak this Word of God, there can be no misuse of the tongue. Point number three, the tongue is a little member, but it boasts of a great thing. Consider the bits that are put in a brow that you put in a horse's mouth. It's a small instrument, but it has a great effect. It can turn that horse or that mule, whichever way you want him to go, with that little bit that's in his mouth. It's a piece of metal that runs across his mouth. It's hooked onto a brow that's fixed around his head, and that brow is in his mouth, and if you pull it to the right, it'll make him turn to the right. If you pull it to the left, it'll make him go to the left. But if you just leave it alone, he'll grow straight ahead. That bit that's in that horse's mouth determine where it goes. You ought to let the word of God be a bit in your mouth and let it decide which way you're gonna go. I thought about a friend of mine. His name is Danny Patrick. He could scull a boat by sitting at the back of a boat with just moving his wrist. He has a rudder at the end of it, and we could go down Yellow River. We could come up Yellow River with just stroking because of that rudder. The rudder that's on a ship or a boat determines which way it goes. What are you saying, Baggett? The little part about you has the best controls over your body and over your life. It's very small, doesn't weigh much. Brothers, I did some research on the tongue this week. I Googled it on the computer, and I found out that the average tongue is about 3 inches long, and a man and a woman that weigh the same thing, a man got the bigger tongue according to weight, and we accuse them of talking too much. But God blessed us with the biggest tongue to talk a little bit louder and a little bit longer. But see, God fixed things, but you got to know how to use it anyhow. I saw one man, they had him in the encyclopedia. His tongue went all the way down to right long in here in his throat because he just flipped it out, rolled it out like a frog. A man got the biggest one that it is, and we accuse the sisters of talking all the time. But God blessed us with it, so that mean that we ought to be talking a little bit more. And it's one thing I found out about the tongue. Most other muscles of the body, when you exercise them, they get stronger and bigger. But the tongue, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't get any bigger. It won't get any smaller. The more you exercise it, because of exercising it and talking would make it grow, mine probably would be coming out. But it doesn't come out. See, but God fix this thing. So we need to talk and not misuse the tongue. It's small, but it has a great effect on every part that we're involved in. God gave us a talent to use what he gave us, and you have to become self-sufficient with what God have put in you for you to do for him. Whatever it is, the spirituality that we have, a person can't boast about anything, and he can boast about something that's unassuming. We just boast to make ourselves look better than what we think we are. See, but if you know the truth about yourself, don't exaggerate it. If you got to say it, just tell the truth and leave it alone. Listen, sometimes you'll know something and you ought not to tell it, but you think you just have to tell it. And I think about Jesus when Judas was there and he was going to betray him. Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he didn't tell anybody. See, there's some things that you know that you don't need to use your tongue to tell it, because that would be a misuse of the tongue. God wants us to use it for the betterment and advancement of his kingdom. Sometimes we use our tongue to make others feel bad. God didn't intend for it to happen that way. He intended for us to lift them up, boast about somebody, and don't tell things to make them look bad. This thing that we have called a tongue can kill somebody after they have gone on away from here. We can say things about them that will hurt their family. family, and you don't need to do that. This tongue will get you into something in a few seconds that it'll take you a lifetime to get out of, and you might not get out of it. Don't say stuff that's not true about yourself or other people. Just lift up the name of Jesus. The tongue is a little member, but it boasts about great things. The tongue does not very seldom, if ever, boast about how small it is. He always exalting himself, lifting himself up, but he's always destructive in the misuse of the tongue. Point number four, the tongue is a fire. It is a world of iniquity. It's a little spark, but it can take out. I thought about all the different fires that have been in the United States just this year, not last year. Every time you turn around, somewhere was being burned. A fire was going on, a little spark. I thought about a cartoon that I've seen several years ago, and it was, there was a fire in the forest, and it burned, and the firefighters put it out over here, but then over here was dry land with wood and stuff on it. The little spark jumped from over here to over here, and it started a fire just as big. Doesn't take much to start a fire, a blazing, burning up the whole forest. Inside of a church, you can start one room, and it can tear up the whole church. It can take down all the trees that's in the forest. You've seen a forest where a fire went through and ravaged it and burned it all up. It takes a while for it to come back. The tongue is the same way with messing up lives of people. The tongue have messed up a lot of churches. It is called splits within the church. It's a fire that constantly burns. You've seen fires that burn houses and it burned it to the ground. You've seen fires that just did a lot of smoke damage on the inside of the house. Didn't burn it down all the way to the outside, but it messed up everything that was on the inside. That's the way fire does inside of the body. It just takes and just go down this side of the church, and then it goes down this side. We used to play a game called gossip, and when on rainy days in PE, you line the students up and you tell them one thing, and they turn around and tell another one, and another one, and another one. And when it got to the back, it would be all different. It could have been when it started out, today is Sunday. When it got back to the back, it was up come yonder, something away from what is being said. That's the way gossip is and fire is, and the tongue can get it all messed up. We talking about misusing the tongue. The tongue is a fire, and it will destroy the forest wherever it is. Doesn't take a big fire. Most fires that are started, they're not started as big as they get. It starts from a little spark that just starts burning in one place, but then it covers a whole bunch of acres and it destroys it. That great trouble that it causes. Words and rumors have a tendency to destroy a lot of people. It messes up reputations. You've seen it and I've seen it, where words between two people that have been friends for 30 years and somebody else will come in there and spread a word, and it gets back and it's altogether different, and the friendship goes in different ways. It messes it up, and words can mess up a marriage. All somebody got to do is somebody from outside try to get inside, and words will mess it up. See, the rumors and the words that messes up, and it even bothers children. It'll turn them children against parents. Just words. It'll make you hate the people that live next door because you heard something they may have said about you, and the person that told you didn't hear it it all. They just got the tail end of it. But they tell it just like it's the truth. Misusing the tongue. Those phrases will hurt people. And we don't need to do that. Brothers and sisters, you need to speak that you know and that you read in the Word of God. Don't be so readily to take something from somebody to somebody else. If I really want you to know, I ought to be man enough, a woman enough to tell you myself. And if it's not about building the kingdom of God, I need to keep that fire down on the inside of me. We got to understand that a fire and the tongue is just like a wheel of life. It rolls just a little while longer. Sometimes it seems like it'll roll out, but it will pick up speed. A lie or a rumor is just like a bell that has started ringing. Once a bell starts ringing, you can't stop it from ringing. It got to run its course. There was a man, one time he had told a lie and he wanted to take it back, and the teacher told him, said, well, said, I got a pillow over here that is a feather pillow, and that pillow, the feathers come off of chickens. Said, will you find these chickens and put the feathers back on? The man said, you know I can't put them back on. He said, well, how are you gonna change that lie that you told? See, the tongue can start something, but it can't finish it. You can apologize and mean it from your heart, but the lie is still a lie. The tongue is just like a fire. It will burn. It will burn until it burn up everything that's in its way. You need to understand that the tongue is an instrument that God put inside of us, and he put it in there to spread the gospel, but we have a tendency to have misused it. The source of the fire from of the tongue comes from hell, all the way from Satan. That's the way the little fire starts, just a little fire, but it kindles much. A fiery tongue is a bad thing to have in your mouth. I'm glad you asked, how can I control it? You can't control it. Somewhere I read that man have tamed almost every kind of animal that there is, but he got a little thing in his mouth that he's not able to tame. He can control it, but he can't tame it. He can't control it without the aid of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need God in your life to control those things that you can't control. The tongue is a weapon that we have, that we use and we misuse. I think sometimes we misuse it more than we use it for right. You can use it for good, and God will bless it. The tongue has a restless evil. It always got something that it can say. You can't tame it, but you can control it. Give it to God. If you surrender your life to God, then God will help you to control your tongue. He'll help you to stop misusing it, and you'll use it for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Man is natural. He receives the sin of his father, and your father is Adam. Adam's sin, God had created him, and he created him perfect, but he listened to the devil and he followed the will of the devil. The first place that he's going to attack you is in your mind. It's in your thought pattern. See, sometimes if we didn't think so much, we'd be all right. You can see something on television and you start thinking about it, and when they show you those especially I remember this one with me. When Mike Dawn first come out with the Mike Rib sandwich, I looked at that sandwich for about 4 or 5 days and I saw how good it looked. But then when I got to the Mike Dawn and I got one of them, it wasn't what it looked like. The devil makes it look like better than what it is. See, that's the thought. That was my thought pattern. If I would have just hit that remote the next time, I wouldn't have been looking at it so long. See, we stay there. Thought pattern. Thought pattern. And then I went to McDonald's and I spoke it. Up here first. And that little pink dog behind that white picket fence gets us in more trouble than we can ever think of. Misusing the tongue. The little white dog. Yep, 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 yep. Have you ever noticed? Seemed like to me the smaller the dog is, the more he barks. Yep, 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 all the time. Big dogs don't hardly ever bark. This one I have. Misusing the tongue. But then if you misuse something, and I'm fixing to get out your way. When there's a misuse of something, there is a correct use of something. If we use our tongue for the intent purpose that God created us for, we will spread this gospel. You will tell somebody about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, when God created everything, nothing happened until he said. When God said something, it happened. His words, brothers and sisters, words are so important. He spoke it into, and it became. He had the thought, but then he spoke it. Words have power. Don't misuse your tongue. We can misuse it. And so many times, we misuse it. And we do that. This is why we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come within us and tabernacle with us. Live within us every day of our lives. Speak the word of God. Speak kindness. Speak love. Speak care and concern for other people. Don't be a hater. Don't be a misuser of your tongue. The old saying, sticks and stones, but they'll never bother. Yes, they will. Talk hurts. Some of the most hurtful things that have ever been done to people are words that are said. Saying that, I'm through, but let me tell you about a story that I read. I read a story in a book about a young lady who was living with her mother. She was 16 or 17, 18, something like that, and she got pregnant out of wedlock. And her mother came home one day and looked at her, and her mother told her, said, "You look just like a big mule." She said, "That happened when I was about 16 or 17 years old." Said, "And I carried that hurt until I was 30-something years old." Said, "And when I mentioned it to my mom," said, she doesn't even remember ever saying it. So she told me, said, "Baby," said, "I never would have said something like that to you." She said, "Yes, you did." She said, "And I told her the exact date and time." So she had just come home from work, had been working all day, and I was. She said, "I was at home," and said, "You told me then." And said her mother apologized. She said, and said she never mistreated me. She said, "But that one statement that she said to me stuck with me all the rest of my life." Why are you telling us that, Pastor? Because we need to be careful so we don't misuse our tongue. Don't misuse your tongue. And I go back to one of my favorite statements. If put it between your teeth and bite down on it. Put it between your teeth and bite down on it. Because if you keep biting down on it, after a while you will begin to taste blood. And I might hurt you, but I'm not going to hurt myself. It'll make you not say something that you would say. Please, ma'am, and please, sir, do not misuse your tongue. Will you stand?